A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Cuando Jesús salió de ahí, se fue en la región de Tiro y Sidón. De pronto salió una mujer cananea de aquella región y a gritos le decía: Señor, hijo de David, ten misericordia de mí. A mi hija la tormenta de demonio. Pero Jesús no le dijo una sola palabra. Entonces sus discípulos se acercaron y él rogaron: despídela, pues viene gritando detrás de nosotros. Él respondió: yo no fui enviado sino a las ovejas perdidas de Israel. Entonces ellos vino, se postró ante él y le dijo: Señor, ayúdame. Él le dijo: no está bien tomar el pan, that's bread, que él de los hijos y echarlo a los perritos. Ella respondió: cierto, Señor, pero aún los perritos comen de las cajas que caen de la mesa de sus amos. Entonces Jesús le dijo: a mujer, tienes mucha fe. Que se haga contigo tal y como quieres, y desde ese mismo instante tu hija quedó sana. From there, Jesus went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman, from those territories, came out and shouted, show me mercy, son of David. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. And he didn't respond to her. His disciples came and urged him, send her away. She keeps shouting out after us. Jesus replied, I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. He replied, it is not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs come and pour off their master's table. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. It will be just as you wish. And right then, the daughter was healed.
And this is God's message to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Let us now sing our responsorial psalm. We will sing this twice.
Thank you.
We will sing this twice, Book of Praise number 27, Psalm 42 by Nishtha.
Jesus meets a woman who is not Jewish, somebody from out of town,
And he tells her, what did he tell her? Michael,
you read it.
Yes, and keep going. About faith.
Great.
Your faith. You have great faith. So at the heart of this, you might say the challenging, even disturbing story, is a key question that I'd like to ask you. Did the Canaanite woman that the author of Matthew described here, was she given some kind of a test, which she then passes because of her great faith? Is this a story that should be told in sales conferences because it teaches not to take no for an answer? Heard the old saying, those of you who are in sales, the sale begins when the customer says no. If we go with this, which is the traditional reading, maybe, then it would seem that Jesus did not really mean what he said afterwards about being reserved, exclusive to the house of Israel. The text in verse 24 says, I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, ministering only to his own people. And there are plenty of lost sheep in Israel. So I guess the message is, let the Canaanites take care of the Canaanites. But what do we make of other disturbing comments? That seemingly racist comment when he refers to the Canaanite woman and the people of her kind as dogs. It sounded like, why on earth should we take the food of the children of Abraham and therefore the children of God and give it to you, dogs? The traditional reading will suggest it was a test, a way of bringing to light a faith that is already there. And I think that most people favor that interpretation because it saves Jesus from having to look like a jerk. With a reading like that, we're able to portray Jesus like a drill sergeant who tears down or talks down at a new recruit in order to build her up once again. So is there perhaps another way that we can read that story? And I will propose one to you now. That is to notice how Jesus' own sense of God and God's call has been stretched, has been challenged, and then enhanced. And he engages this fierce and faithful woman who begs him for mercy for herself and her daughter, and he heals her. What if we read the story that way? What if we said to ourselves, Jesus was serious? That is, he actually believed that he was sent only to the people of Israel. And she was offering this woman, in this context, the woman who was said to have a great faith, was offering Jesus a greater vision. She was offering Jesus a bigger picture. And because of that, she won't let Jesus go until she's able, like Jacob, to wrest a blessing out of his teacher who was passing through. They said that Jesus lived close to the inland, so this was the time that Jesus tried to get a little bit of rest and recreation, you might say, by coming close to the beaches, the seashore from Tyre and Sidon. It is because of this great faith that she won't let Jesus go. Now, some of you are moms. You know how moms of sick kids feel. You know what it's like when one of your children are sick, you won't let anything get in the way of bringing that child back to happiness. Would that be accurate? Yes. So we can say, if we went to the second reading, that Jesus learns from us. Would you repeat that for me, please? Jesus learns from us. And he does. From a woman who is an outsider and a foreigner, he learns that God's mission and God's kingdom is bigger than what he initially imagined it to be. This tenacious and faithful woman, a complete stranger, pushes Jesus to reconsider, to grow in wisdom, and to learn. Which makes me ask myself, who are these people in my life? Who are the complete strangers from whom I might be able to learn something about life's lessons? And that is where Robin Williams came in. I heard about it Tuesday night from my Facebook news feed, and it raised many interesting questions on the web. Anything from is suicide a sin to a question like, why do funny people kill themselves? And some people have a difficult time wrapping their hands, their heads, around a man who brought joy and laughter to millions of us, would end up being so depressed and take his own life. As your pastor, every week I dig into my own guts for a message that I can share with you on a Sunday morning like this. And as I do that, I face my own demons, my own insecurities and my flaws and all of the fears and all of that stuff, which by the grace of God becomes a sermon. Something that we talk about and sometimes something we even learn from. The news about Robin Williams reminded me of a survey that was done last year at Duke Divinity School. They interviewed 1,700 pastors in the U.S. and they found that 70% of them, the single most significant issue they were struggling with was, guess what?
Depression.
70% of pastors were battling with depression. And the joke is, the 30%, they're in denial. Some years back, there was another comedian who killed himself. His name was Chris Farley. And another one, there's John Belushi. I want to talk to you about Chris Farley. His old act was based on the fact that he was fat. And ironically, that was the single issue that depressed him and humiliated him and was a cause for shame all throughout his life. The story is that in the end, he was so alone that he was hiring prostitutes just to hang out with him. And here is an account I'd like to read you on the last days and how those days played out. Farley partied for 4 straight days, smoked crack and snorted heroin with a call girl. And then he took her back to his apartment. When they argued about money, she got up to leave. He tried to follow her, but collapsed on the living room floor, struggling to breathe. His final words were, "Don't leave me." And she took pictures of him, and she stole his watch, and she wrote a name, a note, saying, "Thanks, honey, I had a good time." And then she left him. Chris Farley died alone. To the world who watched him on film as the hilarious fat guy who was playing a Beverly Hills ninja, he was the funny guy. In behind that facade And that man was a scared, lonely man who couldn't even face someone to hold his hand as he died. "Don't leave me." Now isn't that what you and I, what all of us are wanting from each other all the time? Maybe not in those words. If you read the text closely, you will notice that it was the same thing with the Canaanite woman. It was the same thing that showed up in her prayer. It was her daughter who was sick, but the Canaanite woman's prayer was, "Have mercy on me. Help me. Don't leave me." In closing, I invite us to keep in mind that this woman, whom Jesus meets and dismisses, eventually became his teacher. He learned from her. And that is why I titled this sermon, "What Did Jesus Learn?" Jesus acknowledged great faith. And I sometimes wonder that when Jesus said that, "Great is your faith," or what did you say, Michael? "Your faith is great." What did it read? You bring that up? "Woman, you have great faith." I wonder that when he said that, he also smiled. And he gave her the Palestinian version of, "Way to go, girl." Some people feel that they are being dismissed by us in our church. They assume, based on their difficult, painful experience, that church is not really interested in them. And some think that the only reason that churches are interested is so people can be turned into regular church goers on Sunday, and so they can add a little bit more to these places that are about to go around. It is one of the reasons that we need to engage people who do not come to church. And there are much bigger, there are more of them who are unchurched than those who are here on Sunday. People who do not go to church, for whatever reason, may have something to teach us who do. And that is the challenge that I'd like to leave with you for this week. It's something that Jesus learned from this meeting, this encounter with this strange woman. I believe that we can learn from Jesus, we can learn from the woman, we can learn from each other, especially from those from whom we least expect to learn anything from. What can we learn from meeting? What can leeches learn from queenies? I was told by some people who were with us during the planning of these services that one of the challenges of leeches is now they have to see the back of the person in front of them. Is that true? If you're worshiping the round, right, you see each other. You see each other's faces, each other's smiles. Are there people in your congregation who sleep through the sermon? You see that too, yeah? You see them close their eyes and nod in approval. Yeah. What are the things that we can learn from each other? Praise God. The Lord will be with you. And I will begin and lead us in prayer. We will say, the pastor will say, "God, in your mercy, our response will be, hear our prayer." The Ebola virus is spread by contact, and there is currently no cure for it. You know that Canada has been sending, or will be sending, experimental drugs to many of these countries as a way to help. About 90% of the people who contract Ebola die from it. And the latest outbreak has claimed thousands of lives in places like Sierra Leone, in Liberia and Guinea. So let us pray to our God, the God of healing, our sovereign God, God in your mercy.
This week in Syria, residents created a homemade banner with a quote from Robin Williams and his character in the movie Aladdin. And it says, to be free, such a thing would be greater than all the struggles and all the treasures in the world. We pray for the nations at war, for the people in Syria, for the Sunnis and the Shiites in Iraq, for the Russians who are coming with big force towards the Ukraine. God, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Anger spurred the death of Michael Brown, an 18-year-old unarmed black teenager at the hands of a white police officer. And over the weekend, we have seen on your TV screens how this anger of a community that was two-thirds black boils over in chaos in Ferguson, Missouri. It has sparked demonstrations across 60 cities in the United States. God, in your mercy. In a chapel outdoors today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Adrian. Yeah, we'll move. Keep going. There's Adrian and Jimmy.
Adrian is a lawyer here in Toronto. I baptized her in this church about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And today she's getting married to her fiancé, Jimmy. Let us join in prayer that God's love be made manifest in this young couple's life. God, in your mercy. And I'm going to ask Drew if you could come up to talk to you about another member of our community. Her name is Kiwi. And Drew will tell you about her. And I ask us as a congregation to pray for Kiwi. I don't have a picture of her. But for those of you who are walking or are on Queen Street East, we have a small memorial stone right beside the community center in between Queen East Church and the community center for people, all of them drug users, who have died in our streets here in Leslieville. Their names are posted there and you're going to see Kiwi's picture. Go ahead.
Kiwi is a friend of mine. She just passed away last Monday. She's 52 years old. Here I'm here.
Thank you. Let us remember silently members of our congregation, those who are unable to be here, those who are sick and in hospital. Remember the people in our streets, the homeless and the hungry, the lonely, and those who in one way or the other are vulnerable to life in a much bigger way than all of us. Together, God's people, let us pray the Lord's Prayer with A beginning and B following. Let us begin. Eternal Spirit.
Thank you.
seek you first. So we will play the melody, and then we will begin with group A, after the word God, and seek you first the kingdom of God. Group C will sing and begin the song with seek you first. Generous God, alive,